Our scripture reading today is found in the book of Mark. It's chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. You can find that on page 994 in the Bible that's right in front of your chair. And if you don't have your own Bible, you can feel free to take that Bible and make that one your own, because we want everybody to be able to read God's word throughout the week. So we're Mark. I have to find it myself here. Chapter 4, verse 26. This is the parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come."
You may recall back in June, or you may not recall back in June, that we looked at this section of Mark chapter 4, where Jesus told the parable of the growing seed. Now, we didn't finish our look at the parable that day, and I said that we would finish it at our next communion Sunday. That would be today. So we're going to conclude this important parable, the only parable that's unique to the Gospel of Mark in the entire Bible. Now, because it's been 3 months since we were in this passage, then I think a brief review would help us regain our bearings. I mentioned back in June that Jesus was a master of the object lesson, taking an object, something familiar, something commonly understood, then using it as a springboard to teach spiritual truth, which was not so commonly known or understood. In this passage, Jesus uses the familiar to explain the unfamiliar. He takes the growing of a seed, which would have been familiar to virtually everyone, and then he uses that to teach important spiritual growth principles. Now, we've already looked at several of these principles that he taught in these verses, starting at verse 26. He says, "A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how." The first thing we observed was that the farmer or the gardener, when they plant seed, they have a very clear expectation. And that expectation is that the seed will sprout and grow into a plant, or else they wouldn't bother planting it in the first place. If the gardener forgets about the seed and goes to sleep that night and doesn't think about it at all, the seed does not grow one little bit slower. The seed does not grow slower because no one checks up on it. If the gardener rises in the night to check on the seed and kind of see how it's doing, how it's coming along, the seed does not grow one bit faster. It doesn't grow any faster if it's checked on. The seed does, in fact, exactly what it was designed to do. Fretting about it, worrying about it, being anxious about it plays no role whatsoever in the growth of the seed. Then we saw that in some ways the growth of a seed is mysterious. And though the growth of the seed is virtually certain, we don't fully understand the process. Not to say we don't understand how seeds grow. We do understand that. Agronomists certainly understand it. Or that we don't understand what encourages growth agriculturally, or that we don't know what hinders growth. We know these things. But the point is that there's something mysterious about the growth of a seed. You toss this dead seed into the ground that may have been dead for decades or even 100 years, surrounded by lifeless chemicals in the soil, and through some mysterious process, a living plant emerges from a formerly dead seed. We considered the spiritual parallel between seeds that grow into plants and the seed of God's word. The Bible often making a parallel and kind of comparing itself to seed in many, many different ways. The word of God is called seed. The word of God can be planted. The word of God can be watered and cultivated. The word of God produces growth. It yields a harvest. It can be choked out by weeds, and it can fall on various kinds of soil. Once the word of God is planted in a human life, once the word of God takes root in a person's life, it goes to work. Night and day, whether the planter is awake or sleeps, God's word is doing what it intended to do, just like seeds that grow. Verse 28 says, all by itself the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. A question can be raised: if the growth of a seed is quiet and mysterious, and it takes place at times that we aren't even really aware of it, or all hours of the day, including the middle of the night, how do we know that growth is actually occurring? Well, the way we know is because there are visible stages of growth. The stalk, the head, the kernel. It's a process. And we know that the process is unfolding because we see the stages of the process. Now, the spiritual parallel is clear. Just as natural agricultural growth is not instantaneous, neither is spiritual growth. Spiritual growth requires time. It doesn't happen quickly or overnight. It's a process. But there should be visible stages that verify that the process is underway. And if there's no sign of growth, then it probably means that there's no growth taking place. Now, the final verse of the parable is verse 29. As soon as the grain is ripe, he, the farmer, or the gardener, puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. When the seed of God's word does its sovereign work, the harvest is assured. It's assured. Isaiah 55:10 puts it like this: so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it out. And the fact of the matter is, we don't always know exactly what God's word will accomplish, but we can be certain that it will accomplish what God intended it to accomplish. The harvest is a combination of God's sovereignty and the farmer's obedience. The farmer cannot do God's part, and God will not do the farmer's part. God's job is to grow the seed. The farmer's job is to plant the seed. Growth cannot be hurried, nor can it be skipped. It requires time. Imagine what a different world we would live in if you could plant a seed and have instant growth. As soon as you put it in the ground and cover it up and pour water on it, it instantly grows and it has fruit or vegetables or whatever you need. There'd be no waiting for a growing season, no concern for the weather, whether there's going to be enough rain, whether there's going to be too much rain. There would be no more hunger. Everyone would have food instantly. But of course, the world is not like that. Harvest needs more than a moment or a day, or a week, or even a month. It needs a season. One of the harmful elements in the American church today is the insistence upon immediate results. But this is the American way. We want what we want now. We don't want it later. We don't want to wait. We're impatient. We don't want to wait. We don't like waiting. Waiting takes time. We don't have time. We buy fast food because we don't have time to wait for slow food. Now, when I was growing up, you still had to walk up physically to the counter in a fast food restaurant to get your fast food. I mean, it was still fast compared to other things, but you still had to take the time to park your car and go in and go up to the counter and order it and pick it up. Now you don't even have to get out of your car to get your fast food. And I bet, now I'm not going to take a survey here this morning, but I bet there are people who use their cell phone to call up a fast food restaurant while they're on the way so that their fast food is ready when they drive up. They have even faster food than fast food. We have Easy Pass, so we don't have to wait in line at the toll booth, and cell phones, so we don't have to wait till we get home to get a call. Imagine having to wait until you got home to get a phone call or to place a phone call. But you know, even cell phones are too slow, so we have speed dial on them. So we don't have to take all the time necessary to punch 7 little buttons on the phone. And horror of horrors, if we should ever have to dial long distance and do 10 digits. So we have the little one-button speed dial. Likewise, some people insist on instant spirituality. Who has the time to grow spiritually? We just want to be spiritual. We don't want to take the time to be spiritual. Who has the time to grow spiritually? Growth takes time. Who has it? Can't we just go through the spiritual drive-through? Do we have to park our car and get out? Spiritual growth sometimes. No, often. No, usually. No, always. It always takes time. It's a process, just like the growing of seeds. It needs a season. A season. So here are the main takeaways from the parable. Feel free to write them down if you like. Spiritual growth is comprehensible. We can understand it, but it is mysterious. In fact, in John chapter 3, Jesus compared it to the wind. You hear the sound, you know it's there, but you're not really sure where it's coming from or where it's going to go when it leaves. It's mysterious. The seed of God's word will accomplish its purpose. Doesn't foster growth to worry about it or fret about it or get anxious over it. We just need to trust God's word to do what it was designed to do. We need to rely upon it. Spiritual growth is a process. It takes time. You can't rush it. You must be patient with it. But we can be encouraged along the way because we can see visible stages of growth. This means we're making progress. Now, not everyone grows at the same rate. We know that. But everyone should be growing at some rate. Hopefully, you'll recall that not too long ago, we ran a series called Markers of Maturity. That's the idea, that we're making progress. And last, if God is sovereignly working, which He is, and the seed of God's Word is sovereignly working, which it is, and we are not hindrances to our own spiritual growth, then harvest is inevitable. It will happen. The Apostle Paul puts it like this in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Well, that's good news. It tells us that God is working and he will continue to work. And if we're not hindrances, then we can expect fruit and a harvest. I love 1 Corinthians 3:6 because it gives a biblical perspective on spiritual growth. It says, I planted the seed, this is Paul speaking, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. We all have a part in planting the seed of God's word. We all have a part in receiving the implanted seed of God's word. We all have a part in nurturing the seed of God's word. We all have a part in having the seed of God's word nurtured within us. But in the end, God causes the growth. Only God can cause the growth. And we just frustrate ourselves and have disappointment when we think that we can cause the growth. We cannot. We weren't meant to try. Our task is not to cause the growth spiritually, but to read the Word, study the Word, understand the Word, memorize the Word, live out the Word, obey the Word, teach the Word, share the Word, quote the Word, be encouraged by the Word, encourage others by the Word, pray the Word, and allow the Word to transform us as God intended it to do. That's our part. That's our role. So when you see a seed sprout, or you see a plant growing, or you benefit from a harvest, remember this parable and the spiritual parallels that Jesus draws from it, and be encouraged. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your Word, which is living and active and able to even discern the intimacies of our very hearts. We pray that we will take your Word seriously and realize how valuable it is in the process of our spiritual growth. May we read it and study it and learn from it and obey it and allow it to do its purpose, even as the planted seed does its purpose. To your honor and glory, we ask it and pray. Amen.